Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680. Great, I love this guy. Mike Farron joins us, pre- and post-game host, similar to what I do, of the Arizona Diamondbacks and a staple of MLB Radio and Sirius as well. Mike, nice to have you with us.
It's great to be. It's an honor. But first of all, it's the first time I've ever been able to sit down with Baseball Marty, so this is a great privilege for me.
Oh, me too. Hey, how did you get into broadcasting?
I started when I was in college. I went to Loras College in Dubuque, Iowa. They often call Harvard the Loras of the East. I'm sure you've heard that, right? So I was actually, it's funny, I was in a musical about Dubuque sesquicentennial that was written by a guy who owned a radio station, and I'd always wanted to get into radio. And Paul Hemmer was his name, still the biggest influence on my career and like a second father to me. And I just kind of asked him, I said, you have anything open? And he was kind of a fledgling. He'd worked in mornings for 30 years and got his own stick and started his own signal, and they were in about year two that they'd run the station. He said, yeah, we could kind of use a weekend guy, and I came in and tested for it and ended up doing overnight. So my first gig was classic rock radio in Dubuque, Iowa, and that's how I got into it. And from there, I was in Indiana for a short time, then moved down to Chicago, was at WGN for a number of years before I went to Sirius.
Wow, what a great story. Great story. And the break with the Diamondbacks, how did that come about?
Well, it was real fortunate. It was, Derek Hall likes to tell the story, the president of the Diamondbacks, that about, I want to say this is probably now like 6 years ago or so, he came to D.C. when I was living there and working for Sirius and came in studio, and he said to me, he's like, hey, when are you going to come work for me? And I started laughing, and I was like, okay, whatever. Yeah, it's just like, whenever you want, just tell me. And it just so happened that Jeff Munn decided not to return as the pre- and post-game host 3 years ago. And I immediately sent an email to Derek saying I would absolutely be interested. And I called Steve Berthume right away, the television guy. And because Bert and I have been friends for a long time. And I was like, this is something I'd really like to do. And I was out here for the Fall League anyway. I do Arizona Fall League games for SiriusXM, and just happened to be able to meet with Scott Guyer, who's my boss at the Diamondbacks, and then I had dinner with Greg Schulte and Tom Candiotti, the radio crew, Leo Gilmartin, our engineer. And things went well. And so from about the first contact to the time that they offered me the job was about a month, and it's been a thrill. I love, I'm a Midwesterner. I'm from Chicago originally, and we all end up in Arizona anyway, so I've just retired a little younger.
I love it. Great story. And I know all those guys. Boy, yeah. I must be getting old. I know all those people. Hey, great to have Mike Farron with us. Let's talk a little ball, though.
Yeah.
D-backs. And, of course, being down here in Arizona, Zach Greinke's only throwing 85, and everyone's getting nervous about him because the velocity was down a little bit last year. Is he a true number one, and what's the concern?
Well, okay, so I think the concern level depends on who you talk to. Greinke's press conference after that made it sound like he's always kind of worried, and that he said, I would guess I was 86 to 91. If I were 84 to 88, I would be more concerned, and he was more 84 to 88, right? So I guess he needs to, I don't think he said he was concerned that he would need to ramp it up a little bit. The front office, in talking to them, they don't seem particularly worried about it. The pre- and post-game host is panic-stricken. So that's kind of where it stands. He went through something very similar last spring, where his velocity was down noticeably from the year before. And then he went out and put together a really great season overall, 3.20 ERA and very good at run prevention, had one of the highest strikeout rates of his career. So I think with him, and I'm sure you've seen this a lot, Marty, with guys who are command control guys, they can get away with a little bit diminished velocity. Now, he's not going to be able to get away with 84 to 86, and I think he knows that. But I think that there is some ramp up there. And he said he goes through this every spring. I don't know if it's quite to this level, but then again, I go back and look, and there's just a little bit of data that's available from spring training games. It depends on where you play them. But I went back and looked at some stuff from like 13 or 14, and it's from the Freeway Series when he was pitching for the Dodgers, and his fastball velocity was in the low 90s on average. So, like, that's kind of where he was last year. So we'll see. I mean, it's easy for me to be panicked because I'm not Zach Greinke and I'm not out there, and Zach doesn't seem to panic about anything. But I do think that he still is an effective starting pitcher, even if he does have diminished velocity, because he commands the baseball well. He's got a really good changeup. He had a great slider last year, and I think he can still get hitters out.
Yeah, my opinion is he's been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. I was shocked when I saw him pitch for the Dodgers. I said, boy, where's the fastball? hey, this guy throws seven changeups or seven sliders in a row. So for me, it's not shocking because he knows how to pitch, and that's the big thing for him. But what about the D-backs losing Martinez, J.D. Martinez, who was just fantastic for the D-backs? We're in this division, you and I, with this National League West. What do you see with the D-backs?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's a little bit different team. It's tough for me. It's easy to say, okay, well, they're not as good a team as they were with J.D. Martinez, and that's probably true. But J.D. was only there for 2 months, and he also had the best two-month stretch that he will ever have in his career, right? So you get, you kind of get off that. They didn't expect him to hit 28 home runs, you know, from when he was acquired. So I think you can kind of back off from that a little bit. I think that they are in a better position, or they are a more talented group than they were certainly a year ago. I think the bullpen is more settled. The Brad Boxberger acquisition, I don't think has gotten enough attention, but when he has been healthy, he's been one of the better relievers in the American League East and was an all-star in 15 and saved 41 games. I think he's likely going to be the guy that finishes games. I think Archie Bradley will be kind of that fireman. You know, like the fireman used to be the guy that finished when we were growing up. Right now, the fireman is the guy that gets the seventh and eighth inning, right? And then Yoshi Hirano, who I thought looked great the day before we're recording this, it was his best outing. A little bit like Koji Uehara, similar, you know, high fastball splitter guy that they signed from Japan. I think they're a little more settled in the bullpen than they were, certainly when they broke camp a year ago. And I think they're a better defensive team, too. Ketel Marte really established himself last year. I think you're going to see a lot of Ahmed and Marte up the middle. Nick Ahmed's a great defensive shortstop, although he struggled with the bat. And I think Steven Souza Jr., who they acquired in a trade from Tampa at the beginning of spring training, and Jerrod Dyson, who they signed, I know the Giants had some interest in him. You know, if you use like StatCast outs above average, they were two of the top 20 outfielders in baseball defensively last year. So I think from a run prevention standpoint, they're going to be better, which is crazy to think because they were the second best ERA among starters in the National League. I think it's at least from a defensive standpoint, they'll be better at run prevention. And I think from the beginning of last year, they're a better overall lineup than they had. We'll just see how that plays out because obviously San Francisco got better. I think San Diego probably, at least their talent level is closer to where their record was last year because I think they overachieved a little bit. Colorado's still good, and obviously the Dodgers are the team to beat.
Boy, you got me excited. All right, this is good. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to keeping in touch with you during the year. Because this National League West, I think, is the best division in baseball right now.
I tend to agree. I think the talent level, so you got to start at the top, right? And Los Angeles has a very, very talented team. They didn't really do much to change over the roster this winter. I don't know that they really needed to. The Scott Alexander move is one that I'm really intrigued by. That hasn't gotten any attention, but the reports I got from scouts were exceptional, right? I mean, it's kind of like a Zach Britton light. And that's going to be one of their setup guys. That's not somebody you really want to face, right? So you start with that talent level. Arizona's still young, pretty talented. Obviously, the Giants are a more veteran club. The Rockies, to me, have a pretty wide variety of outcomes. You know, bringing Cargo back now, I think, probably helps their lineup. I felt like they were a little short offensively, which seems weird to say. But I really like their collection of young starters. I think they're very, very good, and I think they're a little bit underrated in that regard. So, you know, get that, and once San Diego starts to get their young players, I know Hosmer's going to get a lot of the attention, but Luis Urias would be my guess as the first guy that comes back in. Once he gets there, and then beyond that, they start bringing up Fernando Tatis Jr., and then Cal Quantrill, and all of these guys that are going to break in with San Diego starting in the second half, the talent level of that team is going to take a big leap forward, and that's why I agree with you. And you know what? I love it. I love that there is going to be intense competition on every night.
Boy, great to have you on, Mike. Mike Farron, boy, you know your stuff. And you're a little Seth Rogen-ish to me.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, and I keep saying I'm not Canadian. So
I appreciate having you on.
Yeah, my pleasure, Marty, anytime.
Boy, that was a lot of fun. Mike Farron, all right. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.